we're an organization that is all about service and giving back to the community. And there's no greater gift that you can give to someone than a better quality or second chance at life. My name is Marlon Geary. I'm currently the owner of the Marlon Geary Funeral Home, a funeral director in Balmer, and a graduate of the Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science, proud member of the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. I came into the fraternity in the graduate chapter, and it's all about serving the community and being great role models as well to other young men.
I am Dr. Shalonda Tyler. I am originally from Bogalusa, Louisiana, but I have been here in Ohio since 2013. I am a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and we believe in giving back service to our community. We feel like as an organ donor, you can give back to the community by helping extend the life of others. And so that's something that we stand by and want to promote.
My name is Lori Diaz. I am the owner and funeral director at Affinity Memorial Chapel.
Proud member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated.
And what she said. No, just joking. Our four principles of scholarship, service, sisterhood, and finer womanhood. And so scholarship, researching about organ donation, I think that's how that ties in. Service, of course, would be going out into the community. We are very active in the Columbus community as a graduate and an undergraduate chapter. I think sisterhood, what greater commitment to your fellow brothers, but to, you know, offer to help with organ donation. I'm tying them all together. And finer womanhood, you would just be finer if you donated your organs. How about that?
My uncle was the one who inspired me to get into the business. And I've been doing it since I was 18 years old, and now I'm 118. But it's all I know how to do. I love doing it. Right out of mortuary school, one of my first jobs was at Lifeline of Ohio, and I was a tissue tech and organ perfusionist. That was my first experience, or one of my first experiences, with organ and tissue donation from the technical side before becoming a funeral director and meeting with families who were honored to be able to donate their loved ones' organs.
I became a nurse by influence. My mentor of life, she was a OR nurse, and she lived across the street from me. And so I got into wanting to be a surgical nurse by knowing her. I started as a new grad at Indiana University, OR. I chose to be a transplant nurse because my godmother, she needed a liver. She actually passed away on the list, waiting on a liver. And so I was very motivated to change my career from, I was a robotics nurse when I first started, and then I switched to be a organ transplant nurse.
I was taking a class to get my master's, and the class was small business entrepreneurship class. And on the list was a funeral home. But in the research of what a funeral director was and is, I was like, that's me. I would pass the funeral home and I would see this guy outside watering the grass, and comes out to be, it was Marlon's uncle. And so I called him and I said, hey, do you need an apprentice? And he said, do you have a degree? And I laughed on the phone and I'm like, I have three. For me, that was kind of how I entered into this profession, and I cannot see myself doing anything else.
Well, as far as organ donation, I think the first experience with trying to promote organ and tissue donation and talking about organ and tissue donation was not in funeral service, but it was when I was employed at Lifeline of Ohio. At that time, I was probably, if I wasn't the first African American hired by Lifeline of Ohio, I was one of the first. So at that time, it was important to me to encourage more African Americans to agree to donation, get on the list, talk to your families about organ and tissue donation. Most of the time, by the time they come to the funeral home, they've already made the decision to donate. More times than not, the donation has already taken place. So it's not a whole lot of encouraging families to donate at that point. At that point, it's more reassuring them that even in spite of organ and tissue donation, they can still have a service with the body present, open casket, and viewing. So just reassuring them that the decision that they made to help save a life is not going to take away from them being able to plan a meaningful service for their loved one. They're still dealing with the grief that they've lost their son or daughter or parent. So it's a lot of mixed emotions in spite of them saving a life. So they've lost a life of someone they love, but they're saving the life of someone they don't even know. All the time I see the excitement from families when they announce that their loved one is going to be or has been an organ or tissue donor. Just even this past, I think 2 days ago, I met with a family and her sister had donated her corneas. And the lady was very excited that her decision to donate her sister's corneas would impact somebody else's life in a positive way.
It's a sensitive topic. Everybody is not comfortable with death, or they're not comfortable with illness. And then there's a lot of people that, you know, they just don't have that medical knowledge, you know. So you could explain something to them, but they didn't grasp that piece. All they heard was, you're taking something from me or taking something from my child. And so it takes time to make sure that you're teaching people at their level that they understand. I usually can give them a relatable story. The child that was born with a vision impairment and now with donated corneas, they can see better. Or a lot of people, especially in the African-American community, that are on dialysis. And so to have those kidney donors and, you know, people that can donate and so that people can have a better life. I'm sure everybody knows somebody who's been on dialysis or needs dialysis, or that are diabetic and, you know, having a pancreas. And so I feel like having those relatable stories, people understand that.
So I think some misconceptions is that if you put it on your license, that's an automatic, you're just gonna be a donor. Like it's a series of events or series of things that happen before you're able to be a donor. So I think that that is one misconception. And I think the biggest one, at least in our industry, is that they can't have a service that's still gonna be dignified and that they're gonna look like themselves. The third one is that when they say no to donation, that they come and they've already had, somebody's already taken their organs out. Because I've had people call, can you tell me if so-and-so, if they've done anything, if he has any cuts on them? I'm like, ma'am, you said no, they didn't. So I think that's another misconception.
I would say the largest misconception is that they won't be able to have a viewing. Part of our job is to be the magician that hides what people think they're going to see, you know, and make their loved one lifelike, like they're sleeping.
And I think another thing that Lifeline does is now they send the items that we kind of need to help make that process a little easier on our end. I think Lifeline cares about our end of what we kind of have to go through to make sure that the loved one looks like themselves.
We tried to promote transplants and donations a lot, and I've had people say that, well, if I have it on my license, then when you get to the hospital, you're not going to work as hard because you want to take my organs. And so we have to explain to people that's not the case. And then also I've had people in the community when I'm like, hey, make sure you, you know, elect that you're going to donate your organs. And they're like, oh, well, my vision is bad. I wouldn't want anybody to get my eyes. Or, you know, when I was a teen, I drank and I wouldn't want them to get my liver. And so people think that their body isn't well enough to give to somebody else. And so we do a lot of education about there are so many things that you can give, and even talking about burn patients and skin and things like that. So a lot of people in the community don't have all the right information.
I just think it's a matter of educating and outreach. And letting them know that the process and why their misconception is just that. So, but I think that's where a large part of it comes in, is just mistrust in the medical profession. We have a lot of people that just don't go to doctors, period. So even for their own good, they're not going to get checkups on a regular, or if something's hurting, they learn to deal with the pain rather than go see a medical professional.
We have a high need for donation, but we're not showing up. And so until you have a family that has that need, I think sometimes they just don't understand it until you actually know someone who has either been a recipient, or if you know someone who's passed who was able to donate.
The biggest thing is, especially us here today representing the National Panhellenic Council, and we're an organization that is all about service and giving back to the community. And there's no greater gift that you can give to someone than a better quality or second chance at life. So just being an organ donor and tissue donation drastically improves a person's quality of life. So we don't wish that anyone would pass, but it's going to happen. And when it does, if you can help someone else, it's the greatest gift that you can give someone.
You know, my godmother was a really big influence of my life growing up. To lose her because she ran out of time. You know, the person that matched her just wasn't there before she passed away. And so I tell that and I use that story as encouragement for people to donate. But also, you know, my ex-husband, we were together 25 years and he is a kidney recipient. So I have that piece to it that he's able to live the rest of his life now, be off of dialysis, you know, and now has extended that life to be with our kids, you know. So I feel like I want everybody to know that being a donor, there's nothing scary about it. I just hope that people would understand the lives they could save if they became donors.
Our community has a deficit and a need. I can think of two people that I know right now, very close friends, who are in need of a transplant. We have a high need for organ donation, but we're not on the list to be able to be donors. And so I think I would want people to know that it's possible and that our community has a deficit and a need. I can think of two people that I know right now, very close friends, who are in need of a transplant. And so just watching them kind of now be back on dialysis, and when she was a couple years ago running marathons in different cities, now it's kind of heartbreaking to kind of see that while she waits on the list. So I think what I would want people to know is that they should be open to what might help someone else.